Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 7th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff, or Sharif, depending on whether or not he's in the movie theater, Billy Hansel.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me here today.
Billy Sharif. Not to be confused with Omar.
Yeah, please.
Sharif. Yes.
No.
Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
This morning, our Why Do We Say It? Cop. How did a policeman come to be called a cop?
That's a great question.
Got a guess?
I'm not going to say cop and attitude, no.
Almost.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The verb cop means to nab.
Okay.
And a major function of the police has always been to nab miscreants. Therefore, a policeman was called a copper, soon shortened to cop. There's little doubt that this nickname was strengthened by the copper badges worn by police at a later date.
Gotcha. Cop was a derogatory term, 30, 40 years ago. It was peace officer. That was the appropriate thing to call.
Or policeman.
Policeman, right? And then we called him a cop. It was kind of a jab and slang. And
it wasn't seen as a shortened.
No.
Kumbaya, huggy wuggy.
Yeah.
And then that went to the barnyard.
And now we're all a bunch of cops. That's it.
I would suspect that it doesn't. Notice criminal term there.
Yeah,
I would suspect that it has very little emotional connotation anymore.
You're right. Yeah.
Yep. Good. So, state of blank kind of seems to be the theme for you lately.
Yes.
Not blank as in blank, nothing going on inside between the ears.
Well, thanks, Brian. I appreciate
but
that.
Community.
Yes.
Fill in the blank.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. State of the Union by the president this week, and then we had State of McKinleyville.
How did that go?
It went really, really well. You know what? There's a panel of a lot of different people that that make policy decisions surrounding McKinleyville. There was Supervisor Madrone, Maggie Fleming, myself, John Ford from the Planning Department, Greg Orsini from the Community Service District, Paul Kraft from CHP. So a lot of government bodies.
Yeah, Paul said that he kind of had a secondary role.
Paul did it was so
not
good.
It was not something he wanted to have a primary position, but he said, I wasn't in the center of the diocese.
Yeah, but
that's not a bad spot for you to be.
No, I mean, the CHP plays a huge role in McKinleyville because they're doing all the traffic enforcement and they assist us so much with law enforcement and keeping order in McKinleyville because pedestrians, vehicle speeds, traffic accidents, all those things are handled by CHP. And then, again, they have the rest of the county to deal with. They're in the same boat as we are. We reduce staffing levels. They have a huge area of responsibility. They go from, I think it's, Mad River all the way up to Oreck, past the county line. So a huge area for one or two officers. So it includes McKinleyville. So they have a lot going for them.
It was an interesting discussion, at least it was for me, last week when he started. I don't know. Maybe it's because I hang around you guys too much. The workload divided out X number response to blah, 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 blah. Yeah, get it. But he said that one of the oohs and ahs was when he started detailing, X number of deputies, X number of CHP, average number of calls is Y, which means we get about 15 minutes per serious event.
Right.
So when you call about a dog that's barking, or a pothole, or maybe that RV that's been parked across the street, it cannot be top priority because we're responding to an overturned vehicle 50 miles up the road.
That's right.
Or that kind of stuff. And that was kind of like the epiphany moment for a lot of folks because they just did not understand.
That's right.
That just the number and the distance and the travel time.
Just
kind of those simple variables that are in play. What did you get out of it as kind of the aha moment?
Well, as far as McKinleyville goes, you know what? The big moment for me was, the night it's packed out. This is I think the second or third year in a row that I've been a part of this state of the McKinleyville.
They invited you finally, huh?
They did, I've been in the audience for the last 2 years saying, hey, I'd like to be at the platform. No, I've been a part of the panel. It was, it's always great because it's a packed house and people are concerned about their city, and a lot of people had questions about, should McKinleyville incorporate? What does that cost? What would is it even feasible? And so, there's so many people talking about that and I've heard it's pretty much impossible, but the thing is that question should be finally answered and it'll be laid out you know, for everyone to see that this is the cost of incorporation. And, you know, because of deferred taxes and all the things that, that have to happen, you know, maybe it's just not feasible. So let's just put that to rest. You know, and so someone finally,
if you want it, let's work towards it over the next period of time and get some of those debts and encumbrances squared up.
True.
So when we come to that starting line,
yes,
we're okay.
Exactly. And there needs to be some more, you know, commercial or business space brought in to bring tax revenue in. There has to be a overall plan to go that way. And it might take 10 to 20 years to go there, but they should start planning now if they want a corporation. But so that question, you know, needs to be answered. But the people in McKinleyville love their town, and they want the services that are really owed to them. And, you know, one thing that we want to do is make sure that, you know, McKinleyville being almost the second largest city in the county, you know, that they have enough resources so when they do call the police, you know, the sheriff's office for the homeless, the transient issues, the public nuisance issues, that we do have the deputy sheriffs, you know, available.
So when you figure out the deployment and the assignments and all that kind of stuff, your responsibility isn't McKinleyville.
No, it is not.
Yours
is the entire.
Even if we just say the 5th District.
Right.
It's not McKinleyville. It's this geographic territory that you have the same responsibility as somebody who is, let's say, because it won't happen, living in Redwood National Park.
It's true.
In Humboldt County.
Right.
As you do somebody living in the middle of downtown.
McKinleyville. Yeah, you're exactly right,
Brian.
It's
a whole different dynamic than where if you have a city, okay, here's the boundaries. It's a little bit more confined, and you deploy accordingly.
That's right.
How do you determine where and who and how many? Because you've got Southern Humboldt and all the
other places. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, McKinleyville is something that, you know, we deploy out of, but they could go anywhere in the county at any time.
We'll follow up on that when we come back.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Dilnort counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Dilnort and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Before the break, in a very well-timed question.
Yes.
Because we were right up against it. I had asked about the deployment. You know, you've got a department. Now, if you did it and assigned your officers based on population, okay, everybody could kind of figure that one out, and that would be pretty straightforward and pretty simple, and probably would make your job a little bit easier on one side and a little bit more problematic on the other.
Right.
So is there a rule of thumb? Do you do it based on projections, on population, on responses, on response time? How do you get to the, here's how many people are going to be in this location, and here's how many are going to be out of that office,
right,
and how you put it all together?
That is a great question. So we have a huge county, 4,000 square miles, but we do have these population bases that we want to start out our deputies. And so we basically have four areas that we break our deputies up. You know, one is McKinleyville. We like to have at least two, you know, deputies in McKinleyville at all times. And then also two in Eureka, two in Southern Humboldt, and two in Willow Creek.
Okay,
that's
so
the basic deployment.
You say two McKinleyville.
Yes.
Okay, now you just said, you know, McKinleyville's what, about 18, 20,000, something
yes.
in that neighborhood. So let's say roughly three quarters the size of Eureka.
Yes.
You got two.
Two.
How many does Chief Steve have?
That's right. Four to five to cover those 24,000.
Different dynamics of the different communities give you comfort that two is enough, or two's what you can do, man, and two's better than one?
Well, you know what, Brian? Two is not enough. That's the reality. That's what I've told the city of McKinleyville and the state of McKinleyville address is that, you know what, they are a city that requires more resources. And
town.
You know, you know, a town.
Before your dad attacks.
That's right.
Yeah.
A town that requires.
It's not an accident either.
Traffic collision.
Yes, there you go. See?
Yeah,
okay.
See?
We're getting there.
We're getting there. So it is a town that requires services of the sheriff. And so the things that are precious to McKinleyville are the trails and the parks. And so we talked about bringing in a parks and a trail deputy to make sure that the people in McKinleyville are able to walk the Hammond Trail without being accosted by people that are using the trail to run drugs or homeless camps, those kind of things. So that is very, very important in McKinleyville. I heard that last year. We're working towards that, working with Greg Orsini and the Community Service District. We're bringing in quads for our deputy sheriffs and a side-by-side to then run the trail. And then hopefully this next year, when our staffing level goes up, we're going to actually put a trail deputy there and as his full-time job to make sure that that trail is clear, either riding his bicycle, riding an ATV, and making sure that the trails and the parks in McKinleyville are clear so people can use them.
So the ballparks and the dog park are all covered also.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, Pearson Park and, you know, the town center, all those things, you know, it's really necessary for people to be able to shop, to be able to go into these areas without being accosted.
And that's a change that's happened. So as there are these shifts.
Yes.
In various communities, are you flexible enough? Not you, Billy, but.
Yes.
Is the department flexible enough where you can move if you need to move? So if you've got, let's say, 30 bodies that you can
yes.
deploy, you take one from Redway and you put them up into Oreck.
Yes.
You can do that?
So we're about 10 bodies down right now. But what we're doing now is different than before. We have a new records management system that tracks our calls for service. So we're able to then break down, you know, and it is intelligence-based policing. So we're able to look at how many calls for service in different areas, whether it's Eureka, Southern Humboldt, Willow Creek. And then we're going to be able to do our deployments based upon the calls for service that we've seen over the last 4 months. So if there doesn't need to be three deputies in the city of Eureka because the calls for service seem to be all in McKinleyville, then we're going to put more resources in McKinleyville or Garberville, you know, or vice versa. So and then before we expand and move someone to, let's say, Oreck, you know, where we don't have a whole lot of calls for service, but in the past we put a resident deputy up there. You know, we want to make sure that the deputy sheriff is going to go to where his services are needed. And it doesn't mean that Oreck doesn't deserve to have law enforcement officers up there. It means that maybe McKinleyville needs more right now during these times.
Or, you know, depending on, well, the old, when I was playing at Humboldt, Jim Cosentino was the coach. He said, on a string. Everybody's on a string when you're
right.
playing defense.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
So maybe that
Fill
guy goes up over Bald Hills and comes into the backside when Hoopa needs help.
Right.
Rather than going the other way and pulls down into, I mean, that kind of stuff. Are you going to be so granular or so reactive that with seasonal trends?
Yes.
You're going to start to swing. So if the national park starts to have some activity during dry weather, you'll move somebody from somewhere else for those 4 or 5 months and then bring them back. I mean, are you looking at the numbers to that extent?
Yes, absolutely. So it's in the summertime, our staffing does expand. We do more foot patrols in downtown Garberville, Willow Creek, because the calls for service allow that to happen. And then we're able to move those resources around. You know, the Bridgeville deputy in the wintertime really isn't that effective, you know, because, you know what?
Particularly this week.
Right.
And the
okay.
snowmobile, you didn't get the
snow
requisition
cat.
For the snowcat, did you?
Oh, we,
for 36.
For 36. So we got the snowcat poised, you know, ready for that, you know, stranded motorist and that decided to take a detour. So we got that ready to go. But, you know, the Bridgeville deputy, we're able to pull that deputy down and go into Eagle River Valley and really deploy in that area at this time because really the calls for service in Bridgeville aren't necessary. But winter or summertime, we know calls for service go up in Bridgeville. So that's going to be pushed back into that area in the summertime.
So
it is fill and flow. It is a chess game. You know, we're trying to anticipate the next move based upon, you know, our intelligence based policing and our trends, definitely.
I know it's been an issue over the years about having the office in Eureka.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you've got so many badges in Eureka that seems to be redundant. Has there been any thought or is there any flexibility to, now that you've got some offices in some of these other areas, to shift some of those, even of record keeping, have them somewhere else where there's more presence, at least you have a car out there.
Yes, so we do. We do have our deployments out of Willow Creek. We do have a deployment out of Southern Humboldt, and we have deployments out of McKinleyville. So we have cars in all these different areas. And then we have legal office assistance as well in McKinleyville and Garberville.
Not the first time he's been asked that question. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Billy, you had made reference maybe 2 months ago now about Murder Mountain.
Okay.
And I know, you know, you get to talk about this all the time, but I kind of went, oh, okay, fine, and was stumbling through Netflix and thought, I made it through about half an hour.
Yeah.
And I got so torqued, not necessarily about the information, but how it was presented, who they were bouncing, using as sources and references. And I thought, okay, either this is a hit piece, and maybe it is, or maybe it's not. I didn't make it all the way through. I just made it through the first little bit. Or maybe it's something else, you know, coming from a perspective or a point of view or that kind of stuff. What has been the impact from your folks about this? When Bill Doberstein was in, he said, yeah, they took the most rundown house in Fortuna, and that was the backdrop.
Right.
Well, okay, that's not really being empirical then. That's just that's setting things up.
Right.
Some of the references and the folks that they were using weren't normal, regular, mainstream. It was the folks that have a perspective. Okay, fine. Now, in theory, you're neutral.
That's right.
Okay, not to be confused with neutered. You're neutral. What did you see that you're getting feedback from others? Because you know, it's like anything else. We don't care what you think. It's what's the impact to the department.
Yes.
What feedback is going on? What's happening?
Yeah.
How's this one playing out?
So what we're seeing here is the locals, Humboldt County, sees this as Hollywood, has sees this as sensationalism, as, you know, Netflix selling a story, you know.
Fantasy land.
It is fantasy, okay. You know, but there is certain elements of reality in this, you know, and the historical content was very, very good. And some of the stories that the old timers told was good. It was good TV. It was, you know. But,
and
it was factual. It was factual. But then when you had their subject matter experts in Rancho Sequoia that were talking about the inefficiencies of the sheriff's office and how things should have worked, you know, in a court of law was fantasy. And, you know, there's things that
because they are ignorant.
Because
this is all academic and it's not real world from where they're coming from.
Absolutely. I think they, you know, they're not educated into what we can present in a court of law. You know, this is.
So these were legal experts or people commenting on the legal system that don't know the legal system?
Oh, absolutely. And then there's people, too. I mean, we got messages from all over the world, including, you know, South America, Africa.
Yeah, what's the sexiest one you got? Where was it from?
Marriage proposals?
No. The coolest. The coolest place. I mean, like Antarctica.
Oh, okay. We had Sweden. We had South Africa. We had New Zealand and Australia. So, I mean, all pretty cool places, you know, all reaching out to us and it would, it ran the gamut. Other people were calling us a bunch of idiots. Other people were, you know, complimenting us and talking about how beautiful our county is. The fact is that they classified Southern Humboldt and they showed Rancho Sequoia, which AKA Murder Mountain, and they tried to lump all Southern Humboldt into this box, and it is not. It's, Rancho Sequoia is a microcosm. It does not define all of Southern Humboldt or people that live in Southern Humboldt, and it doesn't define Humboldt County.
Yeah,
and
or they the made Triangle it, or Northern
right,
California.
It
yeah.
really made it look like Humboldt County was a bunch of derelicts, you know, and that in the law enforcement was scared to go into that area, and that we didn't know how to do our job, and that the people that live there are a bunch of meth-fueled idiots, you know what? And that is does not indicative of all Southern Humboldt. So
you can't take the broad brush on anything.
But you know what? What's funny about it is people all over the world thought that this is what Northern California really is like, and that all of Northern California was like. And so it was tough to really swallow that. That's why I had to make a statement, you know, that, you know, this was fantasy. This is sensationalism.
When did it come out?
It came out just after Christmas. It came out December 27th.
It's recent.
So it originally showed on a cable television network called Fusion, and then it went to Netflix December 27th. And it appears that everyone who has Netflix saw that over Christmas break because, oh my gosh, it was the trending story, and then that's when we started getting flooded with phone calls, emails, letters about how...
Were there comments from... those who have had kids missing?
There were a little bit.
Not necessarily Southern and Humboldt, but just missing in general.
Yes.
The guy out of the Bay Area, what's his name?
There's a lot of...
The law was made up after his kid. Walsh.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
Did he weigh
Polyclass? No. I don't think
so.
Missing. No.
It's missing in the drug industry.
Yeah, and the thing is, I feel sorry for Garrett Rodriguez's family, and you know the people that are missing, that you know are possibly presumed dead. You know, I feel sorry for those people, but it takes witnesses, it takes evidence, it takes people coming forward that want to talk to us, and that you know, and to get cases moving forward, to have prosecution, successful prosecution with the DA, and so we're still looking, we're still looking at these cases and to try and get a prosecutable case.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:45. Back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. This Murder Mountain concept, is this... Obviously, it's not reflective of what a lot of people perceive Humboldt County really is. If I'm talking to the tourist guys, I'm asking, obviously, different types of questions. But what have you heard back from the law enforcement community? Local, sure, but also the national and international guys. Are you getting feedback from your peers saying what's going on? Are you kind of turning into a pariah? Are they sympathetic? What kind of peer review are you getting?
Right. Well, I've had several sheriffs reach out to me and just say that, you know, they saw it and they saw through it. They know exactly the situation that's in as far as the legalities. And just because you suspect someone, just because there may be a statement out there, whether it's coerced or not, that doesn't mean that there's evidence to prosecute in court. And so we always have to look beyond probable cause and look at a case if we can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the threshold that the district attorney needs to prosecute a case. And so
did they talk to Maggie and her department about this stuff or not?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And so it's something that... you know, it's our case until it goes in and it's in their hands and they accept it, you know, from the district attorney's office. So
would you call it yellow journalism?
I would call it sensational journalism. That story was told to sell on Netflix. You know, the whole title of the movie, you know, Murder Mountain, and a six-part series, when in reality, there was two episodes worth of material. They stress it out over six episodes to try and get people to click on their story.
So did these folks, were they sponsored by Netflix as a company, or did they put a package together and then shop it?
No, this was Lightbox Entertainment, and they shopped it to Netflix. So Netflix, you know, bought
so
it. However, they
it wasn't commissioned or anything.
It wasn't. Like I said, it went to a cable show first, then it went to Netflix, and so and then I don't know how Netflix works as far as the amount of clicks, then they get paid. But this was the trending story, so they got a pretty good paycheck for this.
Has there been any follow up from them to you?
Not directly. You know, I did hear a statement from their producer, Josh, and, you know, he was complimentary towards me and the department, but he stood behind basically behind his show. And,
well, good thing he liked you.
Yeah.
Imagine if he didn't.
I just, you know what, the fact is that, you know, this people need to look at this as entertainment value. And unfortunately,
it's tough when it's your home stomping ground.
It sure is. And, you know, and then with Garrett Rodriguez and that case, and exploiting that case and, you know, and the family. I feel sorry for the family. And, you know, I would love to see closure in this case for sure.
If folks would like to find out additional information, either as a compendium for this or independent, where do you go to find factual information? Yeah. I mean, your deputies aren't going to have 100% knowledge. Is there a resource that they can go to?
Well, when we talk about ongoing case investigations, we're not going to release what we know about the case. And there's some specific things that we know about the case that we're not going to release in public, just in case we do get a confession out there that we need to know. That it is a true confession. And so there's always evidence that we're holding back. You know, we want to make sure that we have a case that's prosecutable. And so we hold our cards close to our chest to make sure that you know, that we can push forward and try to get that case beyond a reasonable doubt. That's the main thing.
Let's say somebody wants to rebuild confidence they have in Humboldt County Sheriff's Department.
Yes.
Where do you go? What would you recommend?
One, transparency. Know that, hey, listen, this is something that we're always looking at improving. And, you know, if there's something that we're falling short on, you can always call us. You know, if there's a complaint about how we're doing business, you can call and seek clarification. If we missed your bar of expectation, then call us. We'll be able to fill in the blanks.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
See you everybody tomorrow.